can imagine my horror the first time I looked at the lesson for the quarter, and it was on creation. So I had the privilege of kicking that one off. And then my horror really got when I got the lesson on creation. And what was the one I taught on?
Nature,
yeah. I thought, man, it can't get any worse till I opened up this one. Creation in the environment. So, you know, one of the nice things of being able to teach is you can teach on whatever you want to teach on. So I will teach on creation because I believe in following the quarterly, and I will teach on environment because I believe in following the quarterly. All right, now I need a designated reader volunteer. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. Very good. John 9. Yeah, some people start creation in Genesis. I start in John 9. Oh, by the way, now, y'all will be honest, right? Because, you know, this is an open class. How many of you did not study the lesson this week? Raise your hand high. Oh, thank you. Because the rest of them were foolish. All right, John 9. Hit it. John 9.
Okay, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jerusalem to go back to Galilee, they saw a man whom they knew had been born blind. So they asked Jesus, "Master, was this man born blind because of his sins or the sins of his parents?"
Okay, now, in order to understand John 9, you have to go back to John 8 to see what is going on. In John 8, Jesus is talking specifically to the Pharisees. And, you know, there's an old adage, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. One day a lion was in the jungle and he ran across an elephant. And so the lion said to the elephant, "Who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant picked the lion up, threw him down, stomped on him, picked him up and threw him down. And the lion got up and said, "I said, who's the king of the jungle?" And the elephant picked up the lion and threw him down, and this happened a third time. Finally, the lion said, "Look, man, don't get so mad if you don't know the answer." So, don't ask a question if you don't want to hear the answer. So the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I am." Now what does that mean, Rob?
I am that I am.
I am that I am. I am Yahweh. I am that I am. And when the Pharisees heard that, they went, common language, nuts. And they said, "Let's kill him." Now remember, they're the ones that came to Jesus and said, "Who are you?" They didn't like the answer, and so Jesus somehow passes through them. And then the very next thing, while the Pharisees are still watching, Jesus comes upon a blind man just sitting there. And his disciples ask what question?
Who sinned?
Who sinned? Him or his parents? Now, why would they ask that question? Blaine, you're a doctor. Do you treat people that have illness? Right?
Most of the time.
When they come in, do you ask them, "Now, who sinned?"
Absolutely.
That's what counselors do. Oops. I keep forgetting I have four or five of them in here. Just kidding.
No. Stay way away from whose fault
it is. That's actually right. See? But why would the disciples ask that question?
That was their belief, that if you had some blindness or lame or something, that is caused because of sin.
Absolutely. They looked at it. Somebody in this man's family, either him or his father or mother, had great sin, and so there was a curse. Now, let's move over to the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler said he wanted to follow Christ and he went through the command, what did Jesus finally say to the rich young ruler?
Sell
everything you have and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sorrowfully. Why? Pardon?
He didn't want to let his wealth go.
Not only that, but what would happen if he was poor? People would say it wasn't his wealth. It was the fact that he was putting himself where people would say, oh my, what kind of sin did this man commit? He was once rich, now look at him. And that was too much for the man. So here we find a blind man. Jesus sees him. The disciples say, who sinned? Either him or his family. What's Jesus' answer?
Verse 3, Jesus said, he was born blind, neither because of his sins nor the sins of his parents. However, his condition will provide God with an opportunity to demonstrate his love and power.
Okay, do y'all like that verse?
Yes.
to think about that. Do you like that verse?
Well, if I was blind, I don't think I would have. I mean, am I blind?
What if you're poor? You have an abusive marriage? What if you're looking for a job? What if things are hard? How would you like the preacher to come along to you and say, you're in this situation just for the glory of God? Pardon?
I'm actually okay just hearing it, but that means I'm
going to
get out of this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. What did it say?
It said that it was for the glory of God. It said that God will use this situation to show His glory.
Okay, is that more comforting?
It is.
Okay, well, that's why I ask questions. All right. Now, what does Jesus do?
Verse 4, this is why I was sent here. I must do God's work of love while I can, because soon my time will be up. Soon the night will come when no man can work. But while I'm in this world, I'm the Father's light in the world. Then he asked the disciples to bring the blind man to him.
Okay, so now the disciples get him, bring him to Jesus.
When the man came, Jesus squatted down.
All right, now hold on just a second. Jesus squats down. Now here comes the environment part of the lesson. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. So Jesus squats down, used some saliva to make a tiny bit of mud, then stood up and put the clay on the closed eyelids of the blind man.
Okay, so Jesus spits in the ground, takes his finger, stirs up some dirt, makes it into mud, then he takes and he puts it on the man's eyes. Why? Why?
Well, I always thought it was maybe the Sabbath, so you know you want to show that to
me. We're
going to
get there. Over in Bosnia, they try to jump ahead of you. Why? Why that way? Why did he spin in the ground, take mud, twirl it around, and put it on the guy's eyes? Why?
Well, that's what he did the first time.
Pardon?
Where did you come from to begin with?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, see, this is the creation part. I told you I'd stay within the guidelines of the lesson. All right. Now, he puts mud on his, he puts it on the clay, mud on his eyes. Then what does he tell the guy to do?
He said, now go to the nearby pool of Siloam, which means sent, and wash the clay off your eyes. So the blind man did as he was told. And when he looked, he could see.
All right, hold it there. What's missing in this story so far with the blind man? Pardon?
His faith.
Yeah. You Okay, one thing. What else?
No healing took place until the man did what Christ told him to do.
Okay, what else is missing?
He's not asking any questions.
What?
The blind man's not asking any questions.
What questions is Jesus asking?
Nothing.
Do you get the point? Jesus didn't say, do you believe? Jesus didn't say, do you know who I am? We're going to find that out later in the story. Jesus had no requirements put upon this man. Are you a believer? If I do this, will you believe? There were no requirements put upon this man. No list of things the man should have to do before he got his sight. So Jesus says, go to the pool, wash. What happens?
The blind man did as he was told. And when he looked, he could see. Then he ran home, praising God for his healing.
All right, now, Jesus made a very spectacle of this healing. He could have healed him right there with a word. He could have touched him and healed him. Instead, he took the time, spit in the ground, made some... Wouldn't that get your attention if you was watching this, Lloyd? See some guy spitting in the ground and making mud pie, putting it on the guy's eyes? So now he has everybody's attention. And the man goes to the pool, washes, and he sees now he's happy. He's jumping up and down like any person that had just been touched by Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the reaction of his friends and neighbors, and mostly the reaction of the religious people of the day. First of all, his friends and neighbors. Now, Charles, don't they have to be thrilled? Blind man can now see? All right.
So he ran home, praising God for his healing. His friends and neighbors said, isn't this the man who was born blind? Isn't he the one who always sat and begged? And other neighbors said, yes, that's him. But still others said, no, he's not the one. He just looks like him. Then he said, yes, I'm the one.
Todd, do you see the mixed reaction? Some were astonished. Hey, is that the blind guy? Been blind? Others said, well, he looks like him, but that's not him. And he says, yes, it is. It's me. Did he change anybody's opinion? Doesn't look like it. So now, he goes to the head of God's people to proclaim what has happened to him. Now, surely this religious group is going to be thrilled.
Verse 10, so they asked him, what happened? How is it that you can suddenly see? And he said, a man called Jesus came by, made a tiny bit of mud, put it on my eyes, and then told me to go to the pool of Siloam to wash it off. When I did, I could see. And they asked him, who is this man? Where did he go?
By the way, do you see the great principle of Christian witnessing? What kind of Bible study did Jesus give to this blind man? None. What kind of Bible study is the blind man giving? That's it. That's our witness. If God hasn't done anything in your life, you have no witness. But you're here today because God has done something in your life. And so the principle of witnessing is not to say, here's a set of beliefs, here's a set of doctrines, let's discuss creation. If it took 4 days, 5 days, 100 years, 1 million years, who cares? Dale Carnegie said in the 1930s, something that's absolutely true, who are you to think that you can change a man's opinion? I know. I've tried for years to change Charles's. I get nowhere. Nowhere. Yes, Jim.
You know an interesting thing? My mother told me when I was 3 years old. Now, this is back when I was 3 years old. But I used to grab the dirt out of the potted plants. Like we had snake plants back then. And I ate it. And I'm still alive today.
Yeah. That happens. Who are we to think that we can change a man's opinion? So the man says, hey, all I know, I was blind. Along came Jesus. And now I can see. What a powerful message. But let's see how it works.
So they took him to the Pharisees because it was the Sabbath when Jesus had healed the man, and the man had publicly washed his face in the pool of Siloam. The Pharisees asked him the same question his friends and neighbors had. They said, how were you healed and who did it? And he answered, a man put a little mud on my eyes, and when I washed it off, I could see. The Pharisees said, whoever did this is not from God because he did it on the Sabbath. So he broke God's law.
All right. Is there any lesson in there for us? Any lesson in that for us?
You mean the church or individuals?
Both. Church and individual. Since you spoke up, you get to answer it.
Well, I've grew up in this church. I've seen a legalistic aspect of it, but I praise God that I've had the chance to be part of it.
That's right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what day it is if you're doing good.
That's correct, but that's not the lesson.
Don't judge others as to what they should or shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Sometimes our preconceived ideas can miss the point.
Not quite good enough. Yeah, well, he's on his way, but not quite good enough to be a member of our church. Yes?
Keep our eyes focused on God, no matter what happens. Just keep our focus on God.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a man that was blind, and now he can see. Should be the happiest moment. It probably is in his life. But who has he found to share the joy with?
No one.
No one. And there are people. I'm like Lloyd, been a member of this church for a long time. The church has shifted over the years. And thank God it has. But nobody. They come and they look for acceptance. And the church says, you're not quite good enough yet. Because now you must do this, 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 and this. Or as individuals, we look at them and say, I'm sorry. You took a good step, but you're not gone far enough. We get so focused on what people should do that we forget the message that they have. All of us have pasts. And most of our spiritual journeys have been up, and some of them have been down. And some of them are up and some of them are down. All of us have pasts. But we have to listen to what God has done in our lives. Because that's the message that we need to share with people. Yes, I was a sinner. But I met Jesus. And look what he's done. But no, these Pharisees, the religious people, they nitpick. Wah! We got to give him a teaching on how to keep the Sabbath. You see, when you're focused on yourself, when you're focused, either as a church or denomination or individual, it makes no difference. When we're focused on, I know what's right, then when people come, and the first thing we look at is, do they meet up to our standards? Instead of saying, Here was a blind man. He can see. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So all they saw, Sabbath breaker. Now surely, his parents are going to be absolutely thrilled.
Verse 16, the Pharisees said, whoever did this is not from God, because he did it on the Sabbath. So he broke God's law. Then some of the people said, if he broke the Sabbath and sinned, how could he do what he did? Before long, the people were divided.
Okay. Now, do you understand now why Jesus made kind of a spectacle of doing this? Remember in chapter 8, they said, who are you? Now, also previously in chapter 8, they had brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in adultery. And what did they want to do with her? Kill her. The very people that got her into adultery. And we all know the story. Jesus bent down, wrote in the sand. And then he looked around. And one by one, they saw their name or what they did or the Holiday Inn, 3 o'clock last Thursday. Whatever they saw. And they one by one said, oops, that's me. Let me get out of here. And Jesus looked up and told the lady to go, that her sins were forgiven. Now, who can forgive sins? Only God. In chapter 9 and 10, we're going to see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead after 3 days. Who can only raise from the dead? God. One of the most fantastic studies is take the 4 Gospels and go through and see how Jesus worked hard to appeal to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. And then a second one that's just as good is how he appealed to Judas, the one that was going to betray him. So we find Jesus one more time saying, only God can forgive sins. Woman, thy sins go and sin no more. Only God can heal. So I'm going to make a spectacle of this. I'm going to spit on the ground. And as a byproduct, we have a great lesson for environment. I'm going to take the sand, we'll put it on the eyes, and we're going to open up his eyes when he washes. He's got everybody's attention. Now, some are saying, wow. And others are saying, well, he doesn't have it all together. He did this on the Sabbath. Man, he should have been out giving Bible studies, and he's out healing. So far, the neighbors and friends haven't accepted this man's joy. The religious leaders of the church haven't accepted this man's joy. Surely, the parents are going to be thrilled.
So in verse 18, they call for the parents. But the Pharisees were not willing to believe that the man was miraculously healed, so they decided to call in his parents to see what they had to say. When the man's parents came, the Pharisees asked them, is this your son? Was he born blind? And if so, what happened to him that he can suddenly see? And the parents said, yes, this is our son. And
all right! Yep, this is our boy!
And he was born blind.
And he was born blind! Man, can you see him jumping up and down?
And they said, why he can suddenly see? We don't know. He's old enough to speak for himself. Ask him.
Yeah, let him speak for himself. Why did they say this? What were they fearful of?
He answered that way because they were afraid.
Yeah. What were they afraid of?
Being ostracized by the Pharisees.
Yep. Because if they would have said, that man, He healed our son. They would have been thrown out of the church. And so they sold their son out so they could still be part of a church. You know, I can only speak for myself. It's all I ever can talk about. I can talk about Rob a lot, but I won't do that. I look back in my early life as a Christian, as a Seventh-day Adventist. And I voted against people coming into the church because they wasn't good enough. I voted for people that had a joy of something that God's doing in their life and said, you don't meet up. What a shame. All this blind man is looking is for somebody to share his joy. I can see, I can see, I can see. Friends are arguing, is that really him? Well, I think it looks like him. Hey, it's me, it's me, it's me. And then he goes to his church and they said, sinner, you haven't completed all the Bible course yet. And then he goes to their own parents. They say, we're not going to get involved in this. Let him speak for himself. He's old enough. Nobody to share his joy.
I think you gave the answer at the very first here. People can't be changed.
Jesus, this is why... Go ahead, I'm sorry I cut you off. My wife says I cut people off every once in a while.
I had an experience. My dear old mother passed away back in November. And she was a good Christian all of her life. Praise God, she was influence for all of us kids. And I worked with an individual who came in with a broken hip, and I was working with it from Salvation Army, a very dear Christian, you can tell. So I did something that probably even my mother may not have heard at the level that I did it. I told the fella, you know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I wish you would pray for me and my family going through this experience. He was elated.
Yes.
What a prayer he prayed.
Yes.
Oh, my. I'll cherish it the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
Because I was open-minded. Because it's individuals that God is interested in. It's not churches.
That's right. See?
I don't even know what church he was a member of.
Don't care.
You don't know what member I was.
Part of God's family. Yes.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In my mind, all churches are kind of the same in this. Is it a matter of control that we're looking that the church wants over us because they want to tell us what we can eat or not eat, how we dress, and who we marry? And in some churches, where you live, how close to the synagogue you have to live, or in the Mormon church, you've got to live so close to their main thing. Is it just a matter of control, do you think?
I think it's being a very legalistic person, believe me, I was. I used to debate on legalism. And did quite well at it. I think people have good intentions. I believe that our church has good intentions. But we're going to look at two things. One is, on this wall, what we should do. And on this wall is Jesus Christ. And we sometimes get afraid that if we look at Jesus Christ, we're going to forget the things over here on this wall. And so, when our children are young, we begin to teach them in our schools and in our homes, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. Because we're afraid that they're going to wander. Jesus said, by the way, in chapter 8, before this period of John 9, in John 8 he said, the truth will do what? Set you free. We're afraid of that. We're afraid that when we look at Jesus Christ and we give our life through Him, and He comes into our life, we're afraid that we've diminished what's over here on this wall. When what Paul says, yay, we're actually emphasizing that. But the power comes from Jesus. And these Pharisees, the mother and dad, the neighbors, they knew this wall very well. And so when he was healed, first thing they said, well, let's go down our list. Uh-oh, he did this on the Sabbath. Well, he must be of the devil. How arrogant. And let's not find ourselves as arrogant. Well, what are we going to do? Yes.
In light of what you're saying, I accepted a girl into school about probably 3-4 weeks ago. Having a horrible time in public school. She lived in Bismarck. Folks were thinking about coming back to the church. She had a language problem, dress problem, smoking problem, all these kinds of things. When her dad brought her out to the school, I mean, it was as stone faced as you could be. We talked for a while. She said, well, I don't get good grades. I said, I don't care about your grades. And she says, well, I'm in trouble because I skipped school. And I says, I really don't care about your attendance record. She looked at me and says, what do you care about? I says, if you come out here, the only thing I want you to do is meet my best friend, Jesus. I saw her about 2 days ago. And I asked her, I says, how things going for you? Her face lit up like a light bulb. She says, I haven't touched a cigarette since I came to school. She lives at home. And she says, I told my mom last night, I want to come back here next year.
Amen. Amen. You see, well, I appreciate you sharing that. We want to get them cleaned up and then bring them to Jesus. How foolish. Foolish can we be? Is this poor boy going to find anybody that's happy?
So then the Pharisees, on verse 24, the Pharisees turned to the man and said, now tell us again what happened and give God the glory this time, not the man who healed you, because we know that he's a sinner. The man said, whether this man's a sinner or not, I can't say. But one thing I know, once I was blind and now I can see. And again the Pharisees asked.
Now you see the power of that. That is why when your background comes up, the only answer you can say is, all I can tell you is, yes, I was blind and now I can see. And then you just move on. Because if they can't see that you can see, then I don't care what you do, it's going to mean absolutely zero. Don't let the devil keep you in the past and keep you blind.
Amen.
Keep going.
It's interesting here, these next few verses.
Well, good. I'm glad that you approve that it's somewhat interesting. That makes me feel good.
Again, the Pharisees asked him, tell us once more, what actually did happen to make you see? What did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? And the man answered, I've already told you, and you weren't listening. Do you want to become disciples? Is that why you want to hear it again? They glared at him. Glared at him and said, you may be his disciple, but we are not. We are Moses' disciples.
See, do you understand? Hold on. Do you see, understand what he's saying? You know, the boy, he's looking for somebody to share his joy. So he says, well, man, are you asking this because maybe you want to follow him? And they glared at him and said, no, we have our doctrines. We have our tenets that we follow. This is the creator of the universe they're rejecting.
They glared at him. We know that God worked through Moses. But of this fellow, we know very little, speaking of Jesus. We don't even know who his father was. And the man responded by saying, now that's something. You say that you don't know much about this man and have no evidence that God is working through him, yet you have living evidence standing right in front of you that he has the power to open the eyes of people born blind.
Okay, don't let anybody rob you of your joy. because you have the ability to stand in front of anybody and say, I can only give you the evidence of what God's done in my life.
We know that only God, or those to whom He gives power to heal, can do something like this. God doesn't give that kind of power to sinners. Never in all of history has there been a reported case of an ordinary person healing someone who was born blind.
Okay, now hold on. Now do you begin to see what Jesus is doing? In chapter 8, He forgives sins. Chapter 9, He creates a blind man to see. In chapter 10 and 11, He raises Lazarus from the dead. And then He turns to the Pharisees and says, can't you see who I am? And then we go on in John and they crucify. Who are we to think that our little arguments, our brilliant minds are going to change somebody's mind? Only Jesus Christ. All right, let's wrap this up to where Jesus goes and finds the boy. Somebody's going to give this boy some joy.
If the man who had not healed me hadn't been given the special power by God, he couldn't have healed me. That shouldn't be hard to understand. The Pharisees turned on him and said, remember, you're a sinner yourself. You were born in sin because you were born blind, and you're trying to teach us? Then they told him to get out. Now when the news about all of this reached Jesus, he went looking for the man.
Now, do you see evangelism 101? He healed him, never preached a sermon, never said, if you'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, I'll get your sight. Just healed him. But now he understands the man has no joy.
So Jesus found him, and he stopped him and said, would you like to meet the Son of God and be His disciple? The man said, yes, of course. Where is He? I want to see Him and meet Him.
Do you see how Jesus works? He just comes to you and performs. He comes and cleans you up. He comes in and gives you the power. This man didn't even know who he was. He says, would you like to meet the Lord? Yes, where is He? But Jesus has already done the work. Why do we think we've got to do the work first and then introduce them to Jesus?
So Jesus said, you're looking at Him and talking with Him. And the man said, Lord, you sound like the one who healed me. Yes, I believe. You are the Son of God. Then he fell on his knees and worshiped Jesus. Jesus said to those nearby, my presence in this world makes people decide either for or against me. Those who are blind and see, those who are blind see, and those who see become blind.
All right, that's in there. He now recognizes. And he does as all do when they come into the person of God. They're overwhelmed with his kindness, falls to his knees, and he worships. And Jesus says, I've come to this world to show those who want to remain blind will remain blind. Those who want to see will see. And it's our privilege to go to people and say, this is the way I was. This is what God has done in my life. And I give Him all the glory. In Jesus' name. Father in heaven, we praise You. We're thankful that even in the New Testament, You came to create a new life out of an old life. Thank You for doing that in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Yes.
There was a brilliant lesson, of course, but there was one very important thing you left out of it.
What's that?
The reason that he was healed so he could see was so he could walk in the woods and see the environment.
Oh, no. Version.